Welcome to Biceps and Banter with expert trainer Brandon Crow. Hold on to your dumbbells and get ready for this conversational style podcast focused on interesting everyday dribble with tasty tidbits of health-related information sprinkled in. Enjoy.
Hi, so how are things with you? What did you get up to today?
I went for a run this morning so far.
Mm-hmm.
So
Steady state run?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like a run walk. Well, I did run walk, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did 7.27 kilometers. So not about time, I just felt like going. Get my fasting cardio in. Mm-hmm. And
now are you doing fasting cardio every time you do your cardio?
In the mornings, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How many days a week are you doing cardio? Every day?
Six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then how many days a week are you doing your weight training days?
Well, I should be doing six, but some days I do only do five.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks I only do five.
And do you have a set schedule? I know you mentioned you have a coach.
I have a coach. I have a schedule, I think the way that, she never explained that the way she sends it to you, if for example, chest is the first body part, if that's Monday.
Okay, it's right? Just like an arbitrary day.
Right, so I kind of choose, depending on how I feel,
mm-hmm.
what body part I want to work on for that day. As long as I try to get all the body parts in, obviously. Right, but I also had told her that I didn't want a 6-day program. I wanted a 5-day program because I just found that lifting 6 days was just, with everything on my plate, was just way too much for
mm-hmm.
me. But it always came down as 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why some days I would miss like a body part. So, and in the last 5 weeks, I think it was, is. No, not even 5 weeks. June 13th. Yeah. July 13th. Yeah. So I start working with Nicole on my legs because I wasn't happy with the way that I was working them, because
mm-hmm.
that's my one body part that once I start to feel the burn, it's like, I'm done. Thanks very much. So working with her has helped develop my legs a little bit more.
Perfect. Yeah, it's always great to have a coach to keep you accountable and really push you past what you're able to do, right?
Right.
That's great. So you mentioned that you kind of got interested in competitions, physique competitions, back in 2011.
Yeah.
What did you do before that? Like, prior to this, like, what started your interest in competing?
People had just brought it to my attention that, why don't you try like a fitness competition?
Yeah.
I used to run a lot of marathons, half marathons. And prior to August of 2011, I was actually doing duathlons and triathlons.
Oh, wow. So that's a pretty big shift from triathlons, duathlons, and then transitioning to physique. So what was that like? I'm sure you're still used to training a lot. What really made you shift? Was it just everybody saying you should do one, or you look pretty good, you should do a physique competition?
It was everybody just saying and encouraging and saying, why don't you try something different?
Mm-hmm.
When I was training for like my marathons and triathlons and duathlons, I never did any type of strength training really.
Oh, really?
I had a very little strength training program from my running coach, but besides that, I never really got into strength training. I started really strength training in September of 2016, when I worked at Anytime Fitness, and a friend of mine who was also a trainer there put together like a program for me. And that's when I followed a program and really started with mm-hmm. the strength training.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And when was your first competition? Because I think you've already done one, or?
I did one. So my first competition was November 11th of 2017.
Oh, wow. And what was that like? What was that process like?
It was a gradual process. I was working with a coach every day. He saw me every day. And the training was a lot different than the training that I'm doing now. I found the training a lot easier. It just, like when I met the coach, I had said that it was something that I was thinking of doing, and then it all of a sudden just became like a gradual process, like getting ready for the show.
Mm-hmm. Did you get any help nutritionally as well?
He did my nutrition for me also. Yeah.
So what's so that was your first show, and now going into your second show, how do you feel like you've trained? You mentioned your training's different. So what's different from the first time to now?
So with my first coach, I had started with him in May of 2017, and we had only done, you know, certain exercises for shoulders, back, chest. It was always the same exercises from the time that I was with him. When I met this new coach and started working with her, it's a whole bunch of different exercises, different ways of executing a program that I've never done before, whether it was, you know, less than 30 seconds rest between sets. She put in some pause sets, pause reps into my programs, lots and lots of supersets, higher repetitions, just more of a variety of exercises that I had really never executed before.
Mm-hmm. So where was the gap from 2011 until 2016? What were you doing during that time? If you don't mind talking about that.
Health issues. So heart issues, mild heart attack in August of 2011. That was also kind of disguised by myopericarditis. Never really recovered from myopericarditis, and nobody could really figure out why or what was going on. So between August of 2011 and April of 2012, we really had no answers as to what was really going on with me, until I was scheduled for catheter surgery in May of 2012, because we all born with that hole, and they thought that maybe, you know, closing up my hole would have helped with my issues of not getting better. And then the surgeon that I went to see was concerned about my heart rate, hooked me up to the Holter monitor, and found out that I had something called sinus AV node.
Oh, wow. And then, so in between 2000, when they found out in 2012 what it actually was, until 2016, you weren't doing a whole lot in terms of training?
No, I practically wasn't able to do anything, because in June of 2012, when I had my first pacemaker implanted, in 2013, October, one of the leads fractured and I had to go in for emergency surgery. And for the next couple of years, I had 5 surgeries in 3 years, so I wasn't able to do anything. I was basically in and out of hospital.
Do you have to change your training at all, being on certain heart medications?
No, I just have to really listen to my body. I train with a heart rate monitor all the time, but because I don't have a true heart rate, my pacemaker mimics what my heart rate should be at. So if I feel like I'm exhausted or working hard or I can't catch my breath, then I just stop for a little while and I just take a break and then I start up again. But it's amazing, because even though I'll feel like my heart is like racing or very high, if you were to look at the results of the session, my heart rate wouldn't have been any higher than what it's set for. So my heart rate is set to... my resting heart rate's 60, and it's not to go any higher than, I think it's 180 they set it for. That took a long time to get that all sorted out also. That was a lot of the issues during the all the surgeries, was getting it regulated for me to feel good. Because when I would try to exercise, I would have, you know, these setbacks.
So how does it work when you're exercising with a pacemaker, if it's set at a certain heart rate and then you start working out really hard? Does the pacemaker know that it should start increasing the heart rate for you?
Yeah, because like I say, it mimics, and it has a setting called like rate response. So it picks up your rate as you're going.
Wow. And even after all that, you still wanted to get back into the world of competing, like you still had that fire, you still had that interest to compete. So even after all the surgeries and all the health conditions, you still wanted to pursue fitness competitions.
I did. I wanted to see if I was capable, what I was capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest thing that I wanted to see if I was capable of doing was a triathlon. So actually September of, I think, 2017,
mm-hmm.
I think I did a women's only triathlon to see if I was still capable of doing something like that. Sorry, not triathlon. I did a duathlon, sorry. Yeah.
All right, so sorry. 2016, you did your duathlon.
Right.
So the doctor had at that point gave you the go-ahead and said it was okay to start training again.
Yeah, that year I had been given the green light that I was able to go back to training as long as I listened to my body.
Mm-hmm. Now, how'd you do in the duathlon even after the big layoff for a few years there?
I did good. I, again, wasn't there to, you know, for time or anything. I was there just to see if I could do, you know, all the transitions and just finish the race. And when I crossed the finish line, I actually cried.
Yeah, I'm sure it's such a huge accomplishment, right?
Yeah.
And then going on to your first fitness competition, and you started doing your weight training. What was the feeling like going into your first fitness competition?
I had already had the mindset that I had already won. So no matter what happened on the stage, I already knew that I won because I was healthy enough to get all my, that I was able to do all my work without having any setbacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to me, I had already won.
Mm-hmm. And there's been no setbacks in between 2016 till now? Like, things have been pretty good?
Things have been stable? Things have been awesome.
Great.
I had a green light also from, like, the pacemaker clinic that I used to visit on a regular basis that I had been given the go-ahead to go back on a yearly basis now. So, yeah, so there's been no setbacks. I feel stronger than I ever have before. And, yeah, I'm happy.
Great. So what competition did you do? What was the name of the competition that you competed in 2016?
I did the King Kong Classic.
Oh, right here in Toronto?
Right here in Toronto.
Great.
Yep.
What division were you in?
I did figure, and I was in the Grandmasters.
Oh, nice. How many people were competing with you?
I think in my first division, there was 8 of us. And in the second division, we didn't catch it soon enough, but I was actually in the wrong division. I was in the open division. So there was more, but I don't think there was that many more. I think it might have been, I don't know, 10 or 12.
So the Grandmaster division, is that 40 years and up?
45 plus,
okay. I tell everybody that like fitness is just something that you have to do through your whole life. It's like brushing your teeth, right? It's just something that you do. So it's great to see that you're, you know, really taking this on, and you're getting into it, you know, into your 40s, right?
Yeah. I actually didn't start even working out, touching a weight or anything until I was 19.
Wow, that's when you first started doing anything like running, weightlifting, anything when you're 19.
Yep. I joined, I moved to Toronto to go to school, and I joined Comer Park Fitness and Community Center, and I just did a couple like aerobic classes, and then I met some friends, and they're like, come on, let's lift weights, and you know, the preacher curl machine?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, okay, let's do preacher curls, and I couldn't understand, like, how do you like, you know, how do you like bend upwards? So they had to like literally like lift my hands, and that's how the whole thing started. That's how it started.
Yeah, I find that with a lot of people, if they're not used to weight training, they really don't even know how to move their muscles or move their joints in certain ways. It's like okay. the more you do it, it's almost like riding a bike. The more you do it, the better you get, right?
Right, yeah, for sure, 100%.
Good.
Yeah.
So how far away are you until your next competition?
I heard, I think it's 7 more days, 7 more sleeps.
Oh, so yeah. What has changed nutritionally or what will change in the next 7 days? Does your coach have you on any specific protocol?
Yeah, so it's I take diuretics twice a day, so 6 capsules of diuretics twice a day. It's now dandelion tea twice a day. It's now something called Ursa UV or Yuva or something, that's once a day. And then no carbs starting Monday. So Monday to Friday, no carbs whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And then will you do a carb load before the show?
Starting today, actually Saturday, I'm actually doing water loading.
Okay, so how does that work?
So water loading, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I drink 5 liters of water. Tuesday, I drink 6 liters of water. Tuesday and Wednesday, I think it's 6 liters of water. And Thursday and Friday, I drink 7 liters of water. Friday, I have to be finished by 2:00. And then Saturday, the day of the show, I'm only allowed coffee in the morning with 3 servings of the Ursa, UV, Yuva, whatever, and the dandelion, 2 cups of dandelion tea, and 150 grams of sweet potato.
That sounds really specific, too. So your coach has you on that protocol specifically.
Yep.
Wow.
And, some sweets before I go on stage. Whatever my go-to sweets are, I can have some of that before I go on stage. And then for the rest of the day, she said it's very, like, minimal food.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that in your first show as well? No, this is a completely different protocol.
It's completely different. She has a different style of training, different style of nutrition. You know, people ask me my first training, like, how was it? And I'm like, it was easy. I was never hungry because my first coach had me eating carbs right up until the time I went out onto stage. So, you know, I was always full. This time, I'm always hungry, constantly hungry. Mm-hmm. So it's totally a different way of, you know, doing things. But I'm the type of person, once I have a goal in mind, I'm going to get to that end result. No matter what it takes me, no matter how much I have to fight to get there, I'll do it.
Yeah, I've really noticed that too. Like sometimes you mention that you're doing your training at what, 4 a.m. or earlier?
Earlier, 3:00. 3:05, I'm on my treadmill.
Wow.
Monday to Friday.
Wow. Yeah. And then you head into work. What time do you start work?
5:30.
So yeah. You wake up, do your cardio, have your first meal after your cardio, or?
No, I try to eat a little bit later.
Okay.
I try to eat around 7 or 8.
Okay, so you still have that fasting window, get to work, open up, and then have your first meal around 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is that the first time when I trained for the competition, I wasn't working. So I had all the time in the world. I could go to the gym wherever I wanted to. And now it's, you know, it's very rigid. You know, I have to fit it in around, you know, the kids' schedule before school ended. You know, the kids' schedule, their appointments and my work and whatever else I had to, I had to get done for the day.
So how many kids do you have?
I have 3.
You have 3 kids, husband, full-time job. So what's everybody else's excuse?
That's what I'd like to do. I think it's all mindset.
Yeah.
Right? Again, it's like what you put your mind to, you can accomplish it. If you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I'll do it later. Well, later becomes another day or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever.
And then it never gets done, right?
It never gets done.
Wow. You know? And are you measuring out your foods in portions and meal prepping the week before, and you have everything laid out?
Yeah, I try to meal prep a couple of weeks ahead of time. I try to freeze it. But if I make my, like right now I'm eating chicken thighs and eggs. So if I make chicken thighs on the barbecue, then right away I'll just measure it, put it in Ziploc bags in the portions and throw it into the freezer. So I basically just have to grab and go. Trying to do like, you know, green beans the same way, get them ready, throw them in the freezer. So, you know, it's kind of like just grab and go and you don't have to think about, you know, what to do.
Yeah, you have to make it fit your lifestyle, right? And
sometimes
you have to pre-plan those things. You have to pre-plan your meals. You have to pre-plan your workouts and say when you're actually going to do them. I tell clients of mine too, it's almost like your training and nutrition, it's like making an appointment with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Just like you wouldn't break an appointment if you made an appointment with a doctor, you have to keep those appointments with yourself. It's like sacred time. That's like your time to get it done, right? Otherwise, like you said, it will never get done.
Right. And I also have to thank my, you know, one of my best friends, Lori, like, she would come over 3-4 days a week, and she would, you know, work out with me, and she would be there to push me on the days that I didn't really feel like I had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's been a great encouragement too.
Great.
To help me through.
Oh, that's awesome. And then how has your physique changed? You mentioned you're on a different training program, you have a different nutrition schedule. How has your physique changed from last year to this year? Can you already see the difference?
I can see that I'm a little bit further ahead of the game than I was even like peak week with my old coach. I have more definition, I have more cut, and that's what I was looking for. I mean, I like to have more, but again, it's, you know, what you put into it, it's what you're going to get out of it. So, mm-hmm. you know, like I said to you before, like, I didn't push my legs hard enough until I started working with Nicole. And, you know, maybe if I had started that earlier on in the game, then maybe my legs would be at a different stage. But, you know, our bodies are our bodies, and you can only do so much to them.
That's right.
Right?
And is physique and fitness competitions, is it something that you think you're going to be doing longer term? Or, like, how many more? Or are you just going to play it by ear?
I'm going to play it by ear because everybody keeps asking me that question. I keep saying this is my last one.
Mm-hmm.
But then in my head, the next pro qualifier is October. So it's just like a couple months around the corner. So like I said to you, like, you know, had I started with Nicole earlier, could my legs have been in a better place than what they are now? So do I go on and see what else I can accomplish between, you know, August and October? Or mm-hmm. do I just say I've had enough mm-hmm. and that, you know, I've already come this far. What's another couple months just to try one more and see?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
What keeps you driven? Is it just the fact that you want to get on stage and do your best? Like, do you have maybe a bigger goal? Do you want to move up divisions potentially? Like, what happens if you do really, really well in this show and you just call it quits?
I think I would be happy.
Yeah.
Training since a young, you know, since I've been around 19, 20, has always been a passion of mine. I love to lift. I love to do cardio. It's something that I've always enjoyed. You know, being a heavier set girl, I used to be, you know, Weight Watchers when I was younger. I used to be overweight.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I used to be overweight, so I used to be a member of Weight Watchers. And, you know, I've had the anorexia, bulimia thing. And it wasn't until I met my coach, Randy, last year, May, where I finally could throw away my Fitness Pal and I could get comfortable with food. I could get comfortable with eating carbs, and, you know, the scale really didn't matter to me. It was more to me how my clothes feel. But like I say, it's a passion of mine. And I think the other thing is that a lot of people that you don't know of watch your fitness journey. And after my first show, I had gotten a lot of messages from people that I didn't know. Like, oh my God, I've been watching you, how incredible, this and that. So it's a little bit of encouragement, especially after everything that I've been through with all the heart problems and everything, that, you know, I'm able to get this far. So Brendan, like you said, like, if I can do it, why can't other people do it, right? Like, everybody has an excuse, but I have a story, right? And mm-hmm. if I can do it, then, you know.
That's right. It's like amazing to see how much you've gone through. And like, I didn't even know that you were overweight. How much heavier were you than you are now, if you don't mind me asking?
Probably, like, I would say probably between 20 and 30 pounds mm-hmm. heavier than what I was now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother used to always be like, pinch, pinch, okay, it's time to go now. And she'll never admit to it, but she was the one who drove me to, like, the anorexia mm-hmm. and the bulimia, and yeah.
I know, and sometimes it's as innocent, you know, as innocent as parents are, sometimes stuff like that, it sticks with the kids, right? And you have to be very mindful of, you know, things that you say around your kids. And I'm sure that you're very careful, having gone through that, that you're very careful, you know, fostering positive self-images with your kids, right?
Yeah. No.
So going into your show, you said 1 week out into your show,
seven more sleeps.
What's your mindset going into the show? Are you confident? Are you nervous?
I'm nervous. I feel defeated, and there's a lot of second guessing going on. Mm. Once you start comparing yourself to other people and you start looking at other people, you know, that's where the second guessing starts to come. But you also have to realize that, or I have to tell myself that this is only my second show. This is my second layer. Whereas a lot of these ladies, they've been doing this for like 8, 9, 10 years. So they have layers and layers. They're building from years of layers, right? I'm just building from my second layer. So I just have to be happy and give myself credit for what I've done. You know, I have to remember that.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's always about comparing yourself to who you were yesterday and not who somebody else is today. And once you get into comparing yourself with other people, like you said, you could potentially feel defeated, and that's what's going to stifle you from ultimately achieving your goal, right?
Yeah.
So how does your husband and kids, how do they deal with that? Because they're not eating the same things that you're eating.
Right. Yeah. My husband's very supportive. My kids understand, and they'll actually tell their friends and tell people, you know, mommy can't eat this because she's getting ready for a competition. My husband's just always very curious, like, when this is all said and done, like, are you going to go back? Not go back, but will you be able to, like, eat like a normal person? Like, are you always going to measure and weigh your food, or are you going to become relaxed and just enjoy life and just, you know, eat what you want to eat? That's a question that he keeps asking me.
And what do you say to him?
I say, I'm not sure, because, like, all my life being so neurotic about food and, you know, having the MyFitnessPal and weighing and measuring, like, I'm not sure. I would like to be able to. I think the one thing that's come out of this is that I've learned that your body needs those cheat days, and you deserve those cheat days. So I think out of everything, if I still end up weighing and measuring all my food, I think I know that I will enjoy a cheat day, that that's something that I'll look forward to.
Maybe a day when you can, you know, go to a restaurant and not have to worry about measuring your food or looking at portions and just ordering anything from the menu, anything that you want, right?
Right, yeah. Or having that ice cream sundae when they all go out for ice cream or something, right? Instead of, no, I can't do that.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. All right, great.
Yeah.
How can people find you?
People can find me at synergyfitness.com, synergyfit.com. Or on Instagram, right? Synergy Fitness, you can find me. Yeah.
Cool. So are you helping people with training now? I noticed that you're taking on some clients, right?
Yep. So I've taken on some clients, and I have my some of my own personal clients. So I run boot camps in my house. And like I say, I just want to continue lifting. You know, I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy, and I want to enjoy life. I want the best of both worlds. Like I said before, I used to only do cardio. I never lifted. When I was also with my first coach, I only did cardio peak week. I didn't do so much cardio like this coach now is doing, so I'm enjoying it. So I would actually like the best of both worlds. I would like to be able to do my cardio and be able to do my strength without like losing muscle mass. That's what I would like.
Nice.
Yeah. When this is said and done, that's what I would like.
Yep. And then just continue on with it like it's a lifestyle choice. It's like something that you just do.
Right. Yeah. And if I miss a day, not to have to worry about, oh, you know what, I miss my shoulders. You know, just relax and
that's
enjoy
right.
it.
That's right. I like that approach.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what I
All mean, right.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Cynthia.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Biceps and Banter with Brandon Crow. If you like our show, do us a huge subscribe, toss a review on iTunes, or maybe share the show with your friends. And if you want to know more, find us at fastingftw.com. Our Patreon is patreon.com/fastingftw.